Second hour, Darren, Donick, and Chase on this Wednesday morning. Hope everybody's had a good day to this point. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe alongside. Willie Donick is in Calgary. Preds and Flames tomorrow night, 8 o'clock puck drop. I'll have pregame for you starting at 7 right here on 102.5 The Game. Chris Lee does a great job of covering Vandy Sports. He's with VandySports.com. That makes sense. Chris, how you doing?
Excellent. You?
I'm just glad you have your voice, man. You were doing the circuit yesterday, and deservedly so, man. You were the one that was right in the core, in the middle of all the news that was coming out of West End. So hats off to you. When did you get wind that this was really going this direction?
2 to 3 weeks ago, and this was at a time I was already just kind of getting, I don't know that I need to say bad vibes, but just a, when you do this long enough, you get a sense about when things are going well, when things are not going well. And that, I was kind of tapped in at that point. And right when I was starting to pay attention to that sentiment, I got a tip that they were looking to fire Malcolm Turner with cause. So at that point, you kind of sit up in your chair and say, okay, let's start digging in and seeing where this is going. And it got quiet for a while, but the silence on anything productive coming out of Vanderbilt was pretty telling. What information I got that I was hearing was not positive. His relationships seemed to be deteriorating over there inside his own department and outside. And then the chatter picked up, I guess, the end of last week a little bit more that firing was a possibility. And I started to dial in on that. I go to the baseball banquet on Saturday night, which is a huge deal. It's probably the best run thing they do all year. It's a fundraiser for baseball. He was supposed to be there. He was not. I found out that he was also not at the basketball reunion on Saturday, which was a big deal for the 93 team. And found out after the fact that he just kind of left town and apparently went to the Super Bowl and told people after the fact. I thought, well, that's not good. That doesn't look like a marriage that is going to last much longer. Sure enough, the this may be ending soon chatter really picked up the first of the week, and I was literally writing the story that they were going to fire him in case I needed that when the press release came out yesterday.
Where do you think it went really south? I mean, I know you, there's a lot of layers to this, spending. You just laid out some of the things. But, I mean, where do you think the breakdown where this thing, where as we like to say, went off the rails? When do you think it went off the rails?
I have heard that the spending got flagged as early as April. And this is where I will defend him a little bit. He walked into a culture where he had a chancellor who'd spent a lot of money, who threw a retirement party for himself, or Vanderbilt threw it, or however this went, that a source estimated the cost of that party between $500,000 and $1 million. Mm. So to defend him a little bit, I mean, it was crazy, the party they threw for Zeppos on his way out, like 900 guests, 9 speakers, that kind of thing. And so he kind of walks into that, and he's been given the idea he's got free rein, okay? And he sees what his boss is doing, and I would have to think that on some level he thought that was okay. But pushback started coming. The staff that Jerry Stackhouse has, and it's got so many components to it, was a sore spot. You know, the contract, I'm not saying that was a sore spot, but they didn't get him cheaply either, and they signed him to a 6-year deal. I just think that those kind of things and endless consultants and a lot of spending on himself that some people described as for show. It just wasn't perceived as wise expenditures. There were some legit expenditures in there. In the meantime, I mean, they definitely needed new turf for the baseball field because it wasn't draining right. And I'm not going to say that everything he did was unjustified, and I'm not even saying that I can't explain it, but you kind of reach a point where you've got to be aware of how stuff is perceived and that you're working at an educational institution and not an MBA. And I just think that that whole mix of the optics, you know, he got more distant from his own department. I don't think the coaches had much of a relationship with him. I just think that between the money and the relationships not being on great ground, it just seemed to start falling apart pretty quickly. I'm going to guess from sometime in December on.
Chris Lee on the line with us, VandySports.com. I said yesterday, Chris, on the show that I do not believe, this is just my opinion, I do not believe Jerry Stackhouse is going to be long for this job at Vanderbilt. Look, we know how he got here, and you can't tell me that those two were not doing a whole lot of talking. I think probably Malcolm, while you said laid out all that perfectly, I think there was also probably a portion of him going, wow, this is hard. Like a lot of people have come in and figured out, unfortunately, it's tough. You hear stuff, but you maybe think you can change that, or things maybe don't appear to be as tough as they are on the surface till you get in there. Jerry Stackhouse realizes they've got huge challenges. My guess is he'll probably go back to the NBA. That would be my guess. I just don't think he's going to be here very long. Do you share that sentiment, or do you think I'm off?
Well, let me be clear. I don't have any evidence that he's got feelers to get out. And so there's that. But I've had the same feeling for a while. The things that you need to do to recruit or to win at Vanderbilt or get better players, and that involves very aggressive recruiting. I don't know that that's something he wants to do. I don't think that's something that he hired assistants with the idea of doing. I think he hired them with the idea of developing players, and I think he hired David Grace with the idea that he would do most of the recruiting. And I don't think he was I may have said it a little bit more bluntly than he would, but he wasn't exactly guarded about that either. He wasn't really trying to hide that they were going to build around player development. Well, the other thing in that, I think he wants to build around transfers. Those aren't always easy to get at Vanderbilt. Grad transfers are, I don't think they've gotten one yet that I can think of, other than maybe Nolan Kressler. I think that was one. Or maybe Kressler, I don't think, was a grad transfer now that I think about it. But the point is, grad transfers are next to impossible for them to get. The school doesn't really give them any help on that. Transfers, I don't think, are easy to get, period. And you look at the places they're coming from, it's Notre Dame and Rice and places like that. So if that's the pool you're picking from, and maybe there's more leeway there, but that kind of paints a picture. That's tough to do. And now, because of the philosophy, he's dug himself a hole in recruiting that they're going to have to work hard to dig out of. He's also going to have a bad record next to his name at the end of this year. And again, that's completely not his fault, but next year is going to be tough to dig out of. And when coaches get hired places, the win-loss record people look at is important. And sometimes the context gets lost. I don't think he's by any stretch a bad coach. I think he's a really good coach. But he's got to start wondering, can this thing get really bad beyond my control to fix it? But before it's too late, and how will that affect my opportunity to get out and get other jobs? Again, this is a lot of projection on my part, but you can't help but think that the thing that he needs to do to pull out of it is the thing that I'm not sure how much he wants to do. Add his boss leaving, the one that hired him, on top of that. I just think, look, I'm not saying he's going to be out at the end of the year, but if he did, it wouldn't shock me for all those reasons.
Chris Lee on the line with us. Chris, you understand the culture over there. You understand how it works at Vanderbilt. There has been some change, a lot of change here of late. People at the top, and there's a new chancellor coming in. And from what we can tell, really doesn't have any dots that are really connected to sports. There's a really bad narrative out there right now. I think it's been a while since I've seen or heard people talk about Vanderbilt the way they're talking about him right now. Just they don't care, and why should they care? And I just think the fan base is really, really down. And obviously, if you've gone to any basketball games this year, if you went to any football games, it's there to tell you that it's down. There's also this out there that, you know, they're not going to be willing to spend the money, that they're not going to put in what it takes to win at this level, to win in the SEC. So do you buy into all that? How bad do you think it is, and how big is the hill, and how much can Candace Story Lee change this, or can she?
Yeah, they've dug themselves a hole with perception, and it's deserved. I think sometimes the finger gets pointed in some of the wrong places. I think that they have people on the board of trust who do care about sports and are maybe willing to maybe spend a little bit more than people would suspect. And the question I have right now is, how much did Malcolm Turner actually raise? Because that was such a crazy show that I'm having trouble knowing what to believe and what not to believe. And being that they are a private institution, it's really hard to get to the truth sometimes. But table that for a minute. I think their fundamental problem, I don't think they're as well-run a university as people think. I don't think they're as well-run a university as a lot of people inside that place like to think. They see their press clippings. They see the U.S. News and World Rankings. They see the test scores going up, the people coming from other places, the endowment. They say, hey, look at the job we're doing. We're pretty good. I think what you're seeing in athletics is, from what I can tell, kind of a symptom of a bigger leadership problem. And there's a lot of, I think, smartest guy in the room stuff that comes out of Vanderbilt. And, you know, last time they had ADs who were at other Power Five schools willing to come, from what I'm told, and didn't get calls. And I think they always go back on what they're comfortable with. That's always run kind of by the academic side and the administrative side. I think they're the ones who get to make the decisions and the calls. And I don't think there's enough input from people who are really knowledgeable in sports. And I don't frankly know if they want it that way. So I think if this is ever going to change, there's going to have to be some kind of awareness in internal administration as to, hey, we're making a lot of bad decisions and we could probably get some input from some other places on that. But you look at the press release they put out yesterday, and in the middle of this dumpster fire, and look, I understand press releases aren't going to be written to say, hey, we're a disaster, everybody come look. But the way they started it, with gloating about how this is a big milestone and they've hired the first female AD and so on and such on, in the middle of what they're dealing with is just typical Vanderbilt lack of self-awareness. And at a time where they should be giving fans confidence and I don't know if apologizing at this point is the word I'm looking for, but something other than that that demonstrates, hey, there's a gravity of a situation that's gotten out of control. I just didn't see and sense that in what they sent out yesterday. And really, that's the thing. I don't think anything is ever going to change until they swallow some pride, admit some ignorance, maybe rethink how they do business and go forward. Otherwise, I think it'll probably be same old Vandy. Maybe some things are tweaked better to some extent, because I think if Candace is the AD, and I think she probably will be, they're going to want to need to see her succeed and give her some victories. And so maybe she's got some capital in that regard. But how much the bigger picture ever changes until attitude changes, I'm pretty skeptical.
Chris Lee, VandySports.com, here with us. I'm Darren Donick and Chase. So you believe that Candace Lee is going to be the AD? She's going to lose the interim tag?
Yeah, and that's not based on information, but I look at that press release and how it's written, and it's going to be awfully hard to walk away from that at that university.
Yeah, and the SEC, I mean, I know Greg Sankey tweeted about it yesterday of how monumental it is. Do you think there's ever a point, though, where the SEC steps in on some of this stuff, or should they step in?
Look, I think they should. I don't know that Greg Sankey is going to be the guy that pushes that envelope. You know, and it's sort of a convenient relationship in a way, because you look at the SEC and you look at Will Wade and Bruce Pearl and some of the bad publicity. And look, there's a lot of money getting thrown around to football players right now. That's under the radar, but that's out there. There's guys that are going to play in the SEC that are signing today that will make more than I'm making this year. And that's always been the league's reputation. And it's always been kind of this to me, and this is just me talking out loud is my perception. It's been awfully convenient for a league that's got a terrible reputation with that kind of stuff. They can always sit over and point the finger at Vandy and say, hey, look, we've got these guys over here that graduate players that never get on probation. And Vandy can in turn sit and look at itself and say, hey, we've got these players over here that graduate and don't get in trouble. And by the way, baseball's winning a national title and tennis and golf and stuff like that. And it allows everybody to kind of point the finger away from the dumpster fire that's how they're run, and it's what their football and basketball programs look like at the moment. And I say programs in the sense of basketball because they've been miserable for six straight years on the women's side. So I don't know how much anybody's willing to push back at that, but that's how I see it.
Chris, the thing that I have always looked at is I see Duke as an academic institution. They're okay at football. I mean, they have definitely hung around and had some decent years of football. We know what they are at basketball. And I always ask myself, why can't Vanderbilt be like that? Because I feel that those two schools are so similar. But Duke has a commitment to athletics. They have a commitment to academics. But you can tell that they also put something into athletics. And I've never been able to understand why Vandy can't do that.
Well, let's go back and look at the history. The last time Vanderbilt had an actual athletics director was Todd Turner. They put an academic guy in David Williams in that position, let him sit there for years. They brought in Malcolm Turner from the outside. He had no experience in college athletics. That was a disaster. And now I suspect they are going to go forward. And I think if she takes the job, I bet she'll be there a while. She's well-liked. She knows how to deal with Vanderbilt. And I could see Candace Story being their AD the next 15 years. And I look at other schools, and I see them putting people a lot of times in charge of athletics who have had athletics experience and have done it other places. And maybe I'm not right about that. I'd need to research it more. But I get the sense that the difference between Vanderbilt and other schools is to actually see things for what they are. They see it as a revenue driver, and they have people who are qualified to make those decisions about how athletics should be run. And they give them power, and they put them in positions, and they let them do their thing. I see Vanderbilt as wanting to hang on to being Vanderbilt and maybe a lot of times not wanting to be pushed. And we seem to keep having this conversation over and over and over. And, again, I think that's the key. If things are ever going to change, they're going to have to let people who have information about athletics and how that runs have some say. And that's my question, is whether they're actually willing to do that.
Chris, great work yesterday. Really good job on your part, and we appreciate the visit as always.
Thank you so much.
All right, that is Chris Lee. VandySports.com did a really good job of covering all of this for weeks, as you just heard, but especially yesterday when everything was kind of unraveling right at the beginning of our show. We'll come back. More of Darren, Donnick, and Chase on the other side, 102.5 The Game.